on hold. All right, here we go. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just the rain, Lord. I know that it kinked some people's plans, but we needed a little bit of rain. It's been dry for a little while. So, God, I do pray that you would just use it. God, that it's just peaceful knowing that you've got everything in control all the way down to when it rains and when it doesn't, God. So we do just trust you with the work of our lives, Lord, and that you would just use us as vessels of honor, Lord, that we would choose, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, Lord, is just the choices in our life, if we would choose to be used as a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. So, Lord, I pray that you would just speak today as we wrap up what we started a couple weeks ago, that you would put me out of the way. God, I don't really have much to say, but I know that you and your word has plenty, so I pray that you would just use me as a vessel, Lord, and that you would just speak your word to your people, and the hearts would be changed. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, so if you get your Bibles, flip over to the book of Daniel. So I started this 2 weeks ago. I had to be out last week. Thank you, Chris, for stepping in. We had a meeting with the youth, so we were out last week. But we started this. What's that?
Somebody did a report.
I didn't know.
Sorry, that was my bad.
Yeah. And I didn't know where you were recording.
Your wife was a mom.
Okay. The book of Daniel. Let me get there. So we started 2 weeks ago, and I didn't think it would take more than a week, but it did. So as we were reading, and so like you guys know, I'm just teaching as of things that we come across in our class reading. And so we were reading through Daniel, and God kind of gave me some things. It's the Harrisonville talk right there, God give me. but he gave me some things out of just kind of the first few chapters of Daniel. And so out of a way of quick review so we can get into the last three things. I had seven choices, and it's a long title, but, you know, God works. God works, right? And so he's doing things in our lives, and I know a lot of the specifics of a lot of y'all's lives, and I know the specifics of my life. And so, you know, it just, you hear that verse, what's it say that God winked at? And you know, so there's times in your life where it's just like, I think that's one of those times that God's winking at me and just, you know, saying, hey, maybe I knew what was going on before what was going on even happened. So, seven choices that you can make that will allow you. I told you it's a long title. And I know Chris wasn't here, so he's over there frantically writing. Seven choices that you can make that will allow you to make a godly impact in a secular world. Right? And so, very quickly, out of the book of Daniel, I'm not going to reread it, but we started in chapter 1. So, in the first kind of seven verses, right, they came in and they took over, you know, they took over. Just like the prophets had been saying was going to happen. Well, guess what? It happened. Just like God's word always does, it happens just like he said. So they come in and they say, hey, we want to take, instead of killing everybody, we're going to take some of the children, but we only want the best of the best, right? And so you end up with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And without reteaching all that, so they take the best of the best, right? And the first choice that you had to make was you have to choose to prepare yourself before you're called. You got to choose to prepare yourself before you're called, because guess what? God doesn't prepare the called. He calls the prepared. God wants to use those who have already said, God, I want to be ready for whatever you're going to call me to do. That's the people he's going to pick and choose. He doesn't come. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't come and find the lost person and get them saved. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about for the specific mission of God, right? Whether that is to go and be a missionary, whether that is to go and talk to the people at your work, like Phil was talking about, whether that is whatever it is in your life, God doesn't say, hey, I want you to do this, so go get prepared. No, he says, if you're prepared, I'm going to call you. Whatever that is. So, and you might not think you're prepared, but that's okay. God does. So, choose to prepare yourself before you're called, right? Ezra, back in the book of Ezra, right? He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Before he ever needed to be, he was. He didn't know what was going on. Right? And so you don't ever know. Don't ever limit yourself to where you're at right now. Too often in our lives we do that. We limit ourselves to where we're at right now. Well, this is what God's called me to be. No, that's what God's called you to be today. But I'm telling you that he's got plans. If I was to say, way back when, when I got saved, or 3 years into my salvation, or 6 years into my salvation, however long, right? Whatever multiple of three, because I guess that's the number I'm using today, right? Okay, well, I guess this is where God's got me, right? Well, no, that's where He has me up to this point, but I don't know where He's taking me next. But the only thing that I can say of a surety is that He's taking me somewhere. Because every time I think, okay, this must be it, something new comes along, right? And so don't limit yourself to where you're at. Know that God has a plan. And wherever you're at, whether it's good or bad, that's part of that plan. And so choose to prepare yourself, because that's what these young men did. They were like, well, we want to be the best that we can be. And because they were, you know, learned young men, right? They were the best of the best of the children. They got chosen. And God used them because of it, right? So that was your first thing, your first choice. Your second choice, as we moved on, was you have to choose to prepare in your heart not to defile yourself. Right, and so you know the story, right? Daniel and his buddies, they were like, hey, we're not going to eat of the king's meat and drink of the king's wine. We're not really into all that. I don't need any of that. And so there was the whole issue of, well, if you don't, then there's going to be problems here, because you know, the king's going to see that you're getting worse. And he was like, I tell you what, you just give me pulse to eat and water to drink, and we'll see how we do for a week. You know, and so come to find out, God was taking care of the whole situation. Everything was good to go, you know. And so they prepared in their heart not to defile themselves. Right? That's what it says Daniel did. In Daniel 1, chapter 8, he says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. How many times in our lives do we become victim of circumstance? And then we're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, if you prepare in your heart to not look at that thing walking by, to not be caught off guard by what the world shoots at you, to not be whatever it is you fill in the blank, angry when something comes along that, you know, you knew you probably shouldn't have been angry about because, you know, emotion gets involved. When you prepare in your heart to not defile yourself, when those things come along, you're like, no, I see what you're doing, Satan, and I'm not falling for it. Right? I see what's happening, and I'm not going there. Right? Daniel purposed in his heart. That's what you have to choose, because that is a choice. You can choose to, well, I'm just going to wing it. Right? Well, guess what? That doesn't really work out that well. You have to choose to prepare in your heart not to defile yourself. Defilement is an inward choice we make. Right? It's not something that, oh, well, that just happened. No, you chose to do it. And you chose to do it by not preparing yourself to not do it. So I'm not going to reteach all that. You can go back and get it on the podcast or on the website or wherever you want to go and listen to it. But anyway, so number three, you have to choose to use your quote-unquote bad circumstances as an opportunity to glorify God. So as I'm rereading some of this today, getting back into this morning early, God's like, hey, are you ready to live out what you were teaching? Because there's some things going on in my life that I'm like, wow, God, you're doing something here. And so you have to choose to use your bad circumstances as an opportunity to glorify God, right? So they Daniel and his buddies, you know, that they get called into the king, right? And so they're in a bad place. They could have been, you know, home. They could have never lost their families. They could have never been basically sold into slavery. They could have never had any of those things go on. But that's what happened, right? Bad circumstances. Whatever's going on in your life, you could be like, you know, that's bad circumstances, right? I just dealt a bad hand. You know, I got my feet taken out from under me. Whatever, however you want to say it, guess what? God's in control. God knows what's going on. God has the thing covered. So once the fog kind of clears, you can step back and say, okay, how can I glorify God in this? Because that's what they did. You know, they're sold into slavery. Their families are gone. They're basically just slaves to the king to do exactly what he wants. And they're like, all right, we're just going to roll with it. Well, okay. That's what we need to do. We just need to roll with it, right? All right, and number four, this is the last one we got to last or 2 weeks ago. Fast forward to chapter 3, because I was just kind of rolling through it. And so chapter 3, we have to choose to make God the only thing we worship in our life. That's a choice, right? We have to choose to make God the only thing we worship in our life. There are a lot of things that we worship, right? We worship our kids at times. We worship our hobbies at times, right? I love to play golf. I love to watch football. I love to whatever it is, right? We choose to worship our jobs, our cars, our homes, God forbid, our religion, right? You know, we worship these things. You know, even worse than our religion, we choose to worship our churches, right? That's our idol. You know, well, I go to the best church ever. Well, maybe you do, but I serve the best God ever, and that's just a part of that. And so we have to be careful not to be worshiping anything. And then that came out of chapter 3. So Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the king, he's like, hey, I'm so awesome that guess what we're going to do? I'm going to build this idol temple type of thing to me, right? And it says that, just so you can get this, in verse 1, he says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth of a 6 cubits, and he put it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So in English terms, this thing is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's how big this idol is. And it says he put it in the plain, meaning it's flat around, and you can see this thing for miles. And it says that anybody who hears, you know, the music, all the different things going on, anytime you hear it, you got to bow and worship it, right? We have to choose to make God the only thing we worship in our life. Too often we worship a lot of different things. And so go back and listen to all that. So we're going to pick back up in verse 14 of chapter 3, right? We're going to pick up in chapter 14. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto this. So here's what happened in the last point, just to get you where we are at. He sets up this thing. He says, hey, anytime you hear the music of any of these different instruments, and we'll get into all of them in a minute, you're going to bow down and worship. And so there were some people who noticed that, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not doing that. They're not worshiping when they're supposed to be. So they go to Nebuchadnezzar because, you know, that's what the world does. They want to throw you under the bus and, you know, promote themselves to the next level. And so they come in, and so Nebuchadnezzar's pretty hacked off because he's like, so why aren't you doing it? And that picks us up where we're at. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, that's what we were talking about 2 weeks ago, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you should be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is our God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is really cool. These guys are pretty bold. He's like, hey, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And it says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful to answer these. I ain't got to think about this, dude. Give me a hard question. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18. And this is something I didn't really notice until I circled back around this morning and was going through this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Right? They say, hey, Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he says, hey, so you guys aren't going to worship my idol? It's pretty cool. It's really tall, really big, right? So you're not going to do that? Well, what if I threaten you with throwing you in the furnace? And they're like, we're not careful to answer you in this. If it be so that God's will is to save us, then I'm good with that. Right? And they're totally bold, right? Here's your next choice. You have to choose to be bold when God gives you high-stress situations. You have to choose to be bold when God gives you high-stress situations. Once again, I'm like, huh, God, you knew something was going on before I even did, right, in my life. You have to choose to be bold in high-stress situations. These guys are like, so yeah, we could die. And they say, if it be in God's will to save us, then that's all good. And that's like the only thing that I really, because, you know, I'm one-track minded and I'm like, I got to make my point. But then I noticed this morning, as I'm reading it, he says in verse 18. First off, he says, if it be so that God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, then he'll deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden images. They say, hey, if it's in God's will to save us, then sweet. But if not, I'm still not going to worship your stuff. Meaning that they're totally aware that maybe God won't. And they're all right with that. That maybe God won't present himself as God to them right now. And maybe that means that they die. And maybe that means that they suffer and their circumstances get worse. They're all right with that. How often we're like, yeah, I'm all about, you know, throwing on my Jesus hat. because it's going to make a point. But what if it doesn't? Are you still willing to do it? Right? You got to choose to be bold when God gives you high-stress situations. Hebrews 4:16 says, right, that we are to come boldly under the throne of grace. You know, we're too often, we're too often intimidated by the fact of who God is. Well, I just feel like my life is such a mess that I can't bring it to God because I need to get all these other things taken care of before I can bring the real problem that I got in my life to God. That's a load of junk, guys. You need to straighten up in those areas, whatever they are. But Hebrews 4:16 says that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. There is no question about it. Yeah, God will help you through your situation. And yeah, maybe we need to circle back around and address those situations that you feel like you can't come to God because of, but don't think that you can't come boldly to God. Don't think you can't come boldly to God because you've got something going on in your life. Right? These guys they chose to be bold when God gave them a high-stress situation. And you know the end of the story, right? It all works out in the end, but maybe in your life you're not sure it's all going to work out in the end. Maybe you don't know exactly what's going on next, and you know you feel pretty good about it, but you have to also live out verse 19. And if not, right? And if not, I'm trying to find my spot now. I'm sorry, verse 18. But if it not, be it known to the king that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up, right? You have to understand that God's will is for you to be conformed to his image. And sometimes that changes your life a lot, right? It changes your circumstances a lot, whatever that means, right? We have to choose to be bold when God gives you high-stress situations. Verse 19. He goes on. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, right? Because he's the king. And he's like, oh, so you're not going to worship me? I'll show you. Full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He's like, I'll show them. I might make it even hotter. They're going to burn fast. Right? Because he's mad. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. He's like, we're going to tie them up tight because there's no way they're getting out of this thing. I'm going to prove my point. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, that the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This thing was so hot that the guys who threw them in died. Right? That's how hot it is. God's trying to prove a point to be like, just so, you know, the Bible critics in 2,000 years don't want to say that, you know, it was just hot outside and, you know, that's what they were talking about. It says that it was so hot that it killed the guys that threw them in. That's how hot this thing was. Moving on. I'm going all the way down to, okay. Verse 22. Therefore, verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he sees something's wrong real quick. The king was astoned and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Yep, there was just three of them. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. They're not bound up anymore. Walking in the midst of the fire, they're not burning, and they have no hurt. Something's not right. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here's the next choice you got to make. You got to choose to trust that God will deliver you. You have to choose to trust that God will deliver you. I don't know what it is that you're going through in your life. I know some of the things that some people have going. But a lot of the big things in life, we like to keep kind of tucked down. We like to keep it close to the vest, as they say. You got to choose to trust that God's going to deliver you. It's easy to think, I just got to take care of this, right? I need to work harder. I need to study longer. I need to be better. I need to just whatever it is. I need to. And at some point, you have to trust that God's going to. You need to put away your "I need to" or "I can do" and just decide that God's going to. Head knowledge, we know the right answer. I don't think that any of you in here don't know the right answer. God's going to take care of it. That's easy to say at church. That's easy to say until you got something going on in your life, and now all of a sudden it's like, I got to take care of this. Right? I got to take care of this. Head knowledge needs to become action before people are going to believe you. Your head knowledge has to become action before the people who are watching you are actually going to believe it. I can say all the day long, I know that God's going to take care of it. What are my actions saying? I can say all the day long, I know that God is going to fill in the blank. Am I acting like it? Right? It reminds me of that line in the, I think it's Facing the Giants. If you haven't seen that movie, you've got to watch it. Horrible acting, great movie, right? There's the movie itself is great. You know, you've got the high school football team and, you know, the crazy coach. And anyway, so, but in that, there is the crazy old man that walks down the hallway of the schools and prays as he, like, runs his fingers down the lockers, right? And if only we could do that in schools today. But anyway, he tells the coach, because the coach is like, he knows that he's, you know, a spiritual leader, and it gets brought up, and I'm kind of butchering the story, but anyway, he's like, the coach is like, I just don't know what to do. You know, I feel like, you know, the world's against me, and I feel like God's wanting me to do this, but I just don't know if that's the right, you know, and I don't know if I should. And he basically tells a parable in his own words, and he says, you know, there's two farmers. He says, one prepares his field for rain, whether it's going to rain or not, and the other waits till he knows it's going to rain, right? And which one are you? Are you going to plant and just expect that God's going to take care of it? Or are you going to wait till everything's just right and then, okay, now I will? We have to expect that God's going to come through, and that's manifest in your life. And it's easy to say, yeah, I know that, but okay, well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And I'm telling you, He will give you opportunities to exercise it. So how are you doing? Right? How are you doing? Christ Himself was in the furnace. Right? There is nothing that you are going through that God's not like, yeah, I know. I'm here with you. You know? So, am I here with you? That's the question. Right? Are you here with me? I mean, you know, He's there with you all the time. Are you there with Him? Christ is there with Him. We have to choose to trust that God's going to deliver us. That's easy to say, and it's hard to do sometimes. And if everything's going good in your life, you're like, I don't really understand what He's talking about. Praise the Lord. There will be a time, right, that God's going to give you the opportunity to exercise. Live it out. That's what people need to see out of you. They need to see you live it out. Verse 26, let's wrap this thing up. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. It must have cooled down a little bit because it doesn't say he died. And spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. He's got a different tune now, right? That's not what he was calling them a minute ago. You servants of the Most High God. I've got to find my spot. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Right? They don't even smell like fire. You can't walk by a campfire and not stink like smoke for 3 days. I'm telling you. Right?
Let alone fire that.
Yeah.
Yards just got burnt up.
So, I mean, there's something going on here, obviously. Verse 20, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word. And this is where it gets, you know, kind of hits close to home. and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So I still don't think he really gets what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar's like, oh, I get it. So now we're just going to threaten other people, right? So you're missing the point, kind of. But we understand what God did, right? We understand what God did. He's going to protect those who are faithful. He's going to take care of those who are faithful. He's going to protect those who, dare I say, present their bodies a living sacrifice. It says it right there. In verse 28, it says, they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god. Here's the seventh choice, right? You have to choose to yield your body to do whatever it takes to glorify God. You have to choose to yield your body to do whatever it takes to glorify God. Well, that's just not me, right? I don't like to get on airplanes and fly for mission trips, right? I don't like to go and talk to people because that's awkward. I don't like to really share my faith. I figure, you know, the way I live will do it, right? I don't like to do that kind of work, so I'm just waiting for the right. I don't like to. Guess what? Sometimes God is trying to teach you to like something, right? Sometimes God is trying to teach you that maybe you need to step down off your pedestal and say, hey, I'm willing to do whatever. Whatever you call me to do, God, I'm willing to do whatever. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You guys know what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, you know, just available sometimes. No. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. It's your reasonable service to just give Him everything. And then it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your God, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you need to present your body a living sacrifice. And then verse 2 tells you why. So that you won't be like the world. Like, I know that I'm not supposed to do this, 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 and this. I know that I'm supposed to glorify God with my life. I know that I'm supposed to go and share the gospel. I know that I'm supposed to show faith even when I feel like I got nothing, right? When I feel like God is completely trying me in a way that I've never been tried. I know all those things. Why? Well, verse 2 tells you why. It tells you because so you won't be like the rest of the world. So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Maybe you're like, well, I know that I don't want to be like the world. Well, guess what? Maybe it's time to prove it. That you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, I just don't understand, God. Well, guess what? You don't have to understand. You just need to be willing. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times to you guys. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Right? And I totally just stripped that and stole it from my brother, and I'll use it as my own forever, right? That God is not looking for your great, awesome ability to go be the next fill in the blank. He just wants you available. And maybe available means, okay, we're going to change the way we do things. Okay. You know, you just have to trust that at the end of the day, God is in control. And that's easy to say. Until you're really just put, you put your feet to the fire and say, okay, now do I really believe it? Am I really willing to live it out? Because it would be really easy in some of those situations and some whatever you're going through to be like, well, I know I can do this, this, and this, and I can get through, right? I know I can do this, this, and this, and get by. And then I'll get back to glorifying God once things settle down. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And if that means things change a little bit, then things change a little bit. You know? So what? Maybe that's what God's trying to show you. That things need to change a little bit. You know? Who knows? But the reason that we present, the reason that our reasonable service, the reason that the least we can do is give God everything, it's in verse 2. And we're like, yeah, I know what verse 2 says. The reason that that's the least we can do, give Him everything, is so we're not like the rest of the stinking world. Because too often we end up like the rest of the stinking world. We say a lot of good things until our feet get put to the fire, until a circumstance in our life comes along and it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And then, you know, you go into, what do they call it? Survival mode, right? Well, I'll just do this, 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 and this, and it's no big deal. I'll make it work, right? You know, I'll fake it till I make it, and, you know, that's just how we roll. And then, you know, a month goes by, 2 months goes by, 2 years goes by, who knows? And you're like, okay, I'll get back to God now. And He's like, huh, I've been waiting. Instead, use that opportunity when things are hard so the people around you are like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be done. I've heard you say that a lot of times, but to see you live it's completely different. Right? That's hard. Right? I can say all the right things. It seems that God is going to give me the opportunity to live it. And I'm cool with that. Right? What about you? What about in your life? Are you cool with that? Are you going to choose to yield your body to do whatever it takes to glorify God? Or are you going to do it kicking and screaming? One way or another, it's going to happen. It's your reasonable service. Right? I love it when I get a chance to just use Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it fits right in, right? It says that they yielded their bodies. Those guys were like, you want to throw me in the furnace? That's fine. That's not a hard decision for me. If it's God's will that He's going to take care of it, praise the Lord. If it's God's will that He's not going to and we burn up, I'm good with that too. Now think about this for just a second. And I'll leave you with this. Because it's easy to say, yeah, that's what they said. You know, they've got the hope of Christ in them and everything. Now wait a minute. This is Old Testament. These guys didn't have the hope of nothing. They had the law. They had the law and that's it. They knew that God was supposed to take care of them. Right? But there was no promise of eternal life for these guys. There was no, you know, there was the thought of heaven, right? Abraham, you know, had told them that, but there was no, you know, they had to live it out to get there. It's completely different for us. It's completely different. If somebody was to say, hey, I'll throw you in the furnace, you'd be like, well, I don't think it's a good idea. Right? You do have the hope of Christ. You do have the hope that if I live, I live, and if I die, I don't. You know, or if I die, I die. I'm going to end up with Christ either way. These guys were living it out, and they didn't have the hope that you've got. You should be that much more bold to do it. That much more bold to live it out in whatever your situation is. You know, you have to think about where we're reading and what that really means, because it's easy to be like, man, I wish I had the faith of Shadrach, Meshach. Hey, you ain't got nothing close to their faith, because they didn't have no promise. They could have burned up and been done, but they trusted in God. So much easier for us to say, if I live, I live, and if I die, I die. That's all good. I've got something far better waiting for me. They didn't know that. Guys, we've got to live bold. We've got to be willing to say, who cares if everything in my world has to change, if that means that God still gets the glory? All right. Okay. I'm not worried about that. Right? It's easy to say. It's hard to live. Right? And so those seven choices... That's what we got for today. Just a quick note before I pray. We don't have class next week. It's a fifth Sunday. So in the sanctuary at 9, right? And so Lord's Supper next week. We'll be back in here first week of October and rolling on. So if you're not keeping up with your reading, we read Habakkuk today. I read it this morning. So if you need to get caught up, pick up in Habakkuk. You can say you read an entire book of the Bible in one day. Right? Three chapters. And then and then tomorrow you'll read another entire book of the Bible, right? Because it's only three chapters. You'd be like, man, I've been reading entire books. So it makes you feel good. Right? And then, you know, here in, you know, not, you know, a week or so, we're going to be in the New Testament. And so it's a good time to jump back on if you've fallen off. So get back in it, because that's what we're going to keep teaching through it. And so I think God's really doing some things. So be in prayer for just the several things that are going on. There's a lot of things going on in people's lives, so be lifting it up. There's a lot of things going on around here. Be lifting it up. Be willing to glorify God, whatever that means. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father God, I love you. I thank you for just the opportunity. Just the opportunity, God, to live out what I teach. Lord, it's humbling to know that you're in control of our lives, whether we like it or not at times. And so, God, I pray that you would use the hard times in our lives, the times when you are trying to grow us and stretch us and mold us into you, that we would be just willing to follow along and be conformed to your will. So, God, I do pray that you would just use us this week. Send us out as lights in a dark world, Lord. Lord, just do pray for the things that are going on in everybody's lives. Everybody's got something going on, Lord. Pray for Pam. She's just had a rough go of it here lately. I pray that you would just comfort her. Just use your word and just the class to be able just to love on her, Lord. And we just do thank you for the opportunity to glorify you in hard times, even with things that she's been going through, Lord. We do pray for Lauren this week as she's got things going on. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray for just Chris and Abby and the circumstances in their lives. And Lord, that you would just present yourself clear and mighty. Lord, we do pray for Mickey, Lord, as she just continues to follow you and to be willing to glorify you in every way that she can. Lord, we do pray that you just continue to be with Chris as he's at work and just use him as a light, Lord, to what seems like a dark place at times. I pray you just give him vision for the upcoming harvest party and that you would just have your will done in that, and then it would just be an awesome outreach to the community, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who aren't here in class today, Lord, that they're just faithful in the ministry right now, that you would just bless them in a way that they wouldn't even have been blessed at class, that you would just bless their service, Lord. I pray that you just bless this week in the Bible conference, that we would get the work done, Lord, and then it would be a spirit of unity in the church. There's a lot of things going on, and I just pray that you would just use this as a time to see you get the glory. No matter what happens, Lord. So I pray that you just bless the work. The Bible conference would be great, Lord. I just pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would just be magnified in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.